Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
All right, good morning, good morning. If you want to kind of make your way back to your seat, you'll see a lot of families starting to gather up here. If you're going to be a part of our, hey, how are you, Colton? If you're going to be a part of our parent-child dedication, if you want to make your way right over here. And before we have a time to dedicate these families and these children, these parents, I'd be remiss if I didn't just pause for a moment and acknowledge the events that took place over the weekend in Paris. How many of you have ever been to Paris? Several of you. It's an amazing city. My wife Allison and I had an opportunity to spend a little bit of time there. Just a beautiful place, and so much pain and bloodshed and mourning that is taking place in that incredible city in Europe today. And so just was thinking about that and thinking about our time together today, and knowing that God's heart beats for Arapahoe Road, but God's heart beats for the people in Paris just the same. And God's heart beats for the people who committed those atrocities and wants them to come to know Him. I don't know if you've invested any time at all this weekend praying that God would reveal Himself supernaturally to all people, wherever you come down on what happened over there. Whatever your ideology might be, your worldview might be, God created each person in His own image and wants each person on this planet to know Him. And so listen to these words from Psalm 62. And parents, I want you to listen to these words too, especially. Psalm 62 begins like this. It says, "For God alone is my soul. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress." Listen to this last phrase. "I shall not be greatly shaken." Because of who God is, no matter what happens on this planet, if we put our faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. Would you take just a moment with me? Larry, would you just play for a moment and just allow this to be a time where we pray for Paris. And we pray for those who are hurting today. We pray for those who've lost loved ones, family members, those who are fighting for their life over there. And because of who we are as followers of Jesus, and because we try to become what this word says we are to be, Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. And so would we just be a church that prays? Scripture says, and Jesus says, "My house will be a house of prayer." And so, Lord, we come to You this morning dependent on You. We will not be greatly shaken. Your word says that You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I love these families who are gathered here this morning with their kids. I love the squirming and the outbursts. It's great. It's what Your house is supposed to be like. And Lord, in another part of the world, there's people that are crying out. May they cry out to You. Would You come near to them and be their healer and their hope and their salvation? Would You supernaturally call forth Muslims through dreams, Lord, as You've been doing in recent days? Reveal Yourself to them, and may they come to call You Lord. You've created them, you know them, you love them, you hate what they've done. But would you be healer, Father, and peace, and salvation, and rescuer, and redeemer? All over the world, may your church lift up our brothers and sisters all over the globe. Prove yourself faithful once again, and may we not be shaken. We pray this in the strong and powerful and holy and unshakable name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love what we're going to do this morning. We're going to dedicate parents and children to the Lord. And why are we doing that? Because what we see in Scripture is that after Jesus was born, shortly afterwards, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple and just dedicated their family, dedicated their home to the Lord. And so, in a sense, that's what we're doing this morning. We're just taking an overt step with these families and saying, hey, we want to walk alongside you. We love you. We pray for you. We're with you. There's going to be great days and we'll celebrate. There's going to be tough days and we'll grin and bear it a little bit. There's going to be other days where there's mourning that takes place, and we want to mourn with you during those times and then come back around when everything is beautiful. Throughout all the cycles that you go through in life, we want to be there with you as your church family. And I want to introduce to you these families. I think there's some pictures up here. I think Jacob, yep, we're doing, yeah, everybody say way to go, Jacob, with a camera. Yeah, awesome. Listen to and look at these great pictures, these great families. Colton Asler and his parents, Dallas and Audra. I'm going to come right over this way. We'll get our little paparazzi moment here. Awesome. Great. And Sarah's got some gifts for you over here. Love the Aslers. How about Noah Andrew Burns? Yeah, all right. And Jeff and Amanda are Noah's parents. Let's take a picture right here. Awesome. Great. So glad y'all are here this morning. How about Nathan and Natalie Castevens and Julie? They're awesome mom. Let's take a picture right here. Greatness. So glad y'all are here this morning. How about Chloe May, Caleb Michael, and Calvin Edward Chapel, and Craig and Lauren, our mom and dad? That's greatness. All right. So glad y'all are here this morning. How about Aliza Brielle Melhoff? All right. And Zach and Jamie. I know our family prayed a long time for you, baby M. You were in the hospital a long time. Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you're here today. Hi. Glad you're here. How about Joseph Salem Partridge? Yeah, all right. It is you. And Scott and Rachel, check that out. Hey, Joseph, look, you're right there. Awesome. Great. And Swecha Poniabuena. Is that close enough? I'm working on it. You win the prize for the most syllables, and it's wonderful. Travinas and Supriya and Sister Sarah. Hi, how are you? Oh, you look so beautiful. Ugly pastors get that sometimes. Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Yeah. I think Sarah has some gifts for you. I want you to know that some of the gifts that are being given are not only a certificate and a Bible, but there's a book that we're giving this morning. Can we show the book up on the screen? Do we have that up there? It's called the Family Compass. And I wanted to make you aware that those books, if you'd like to purchase a copy, are available in our Home Life Center this morning. And after the start of the new year, John and Michelle Perry are going to be leading a parenting class and a conversation on that. If that's something that you would like to be a part of, we wanted to make you aware of that. All of our families this morning have received a complimentary copy of that book. And I just want you to know how proud I am of each one of you. The Lord delights when families just bring their marriages, bring their children, bring their homes before Him like you're doing today. There's nothing magical that's happening today. You don't get more of the Holy Spirit when you do this, okay? But it does make God's heart beat fast. And when you take an intentional step like you're doing today, just know that the Lord is honored. And the Lord loves when moms and dads and families are coming together and coming before Him and saying, you know what? Our faith starts at home, but we sure want our church family to walk alongside us. We sure want our church to know us. We sure want to be a part of who God is creating us to be in community here. We want to be in community with Him, but we also want to be in community with others. And so what you're doing here today is significant and it's special, and I'm proud of you. And the Lord is not going to forget this day. And I hope that you will not forget this day. And just know that you're going to go through all kinds of crazy seasons in life. But I hope that when you're in the crazy moments that you'll think back and you'll go, you know, we're not alone in this. Our church family loves us, is with us, and is for us. And your Father in heaven is with you and loves you and is for you. Church family, if you will walk alongside them and be faithful to pray for each one of these families, would you just say amen? Would you join me in prayer over them right now? Lord, we love you today. We pray for each one of our families who are here, each one of these children, some who already have put their faith, hope, and trust in you, others who will do that one day as you draw them into a relationship with yourself. I pray that these moms, these dads would lift you up, because your word says when you are lifted up, you will draw all people unto yourself. And I pray, Lord, that as these families choose to be in community and on mission, that they will be representation of people who are trying to follow you. Lord, that they would follow you, that they would love their neighbors, that they would bless their city, and they would make disciples. And the greatest place to start making disciples is in the home, because our faith starts at home. But it doesn't end there. It's meant to go to the ends of the earth. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless each and every one of these families and these children, these moms and these dads, these marriages, and all the families who are represented here today. We love each one. We know you do. Would you put your hedge of protection around each of them, that they may come to know you and never be shaken because of you? We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much. Would you help me to encourage these families this morning? If that's something that you're going, man, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that with my family. What can I do? In the art this morning, when you came in, there's a little section that talks about what we just did. On the backside underneath Home Life, it says parent-child dedication today. Sarah Agold. Sarah, would you were up here with them. Would you just stand for a moment? This is Sarah Agold. Sarah serves in our children's ministry, and Sarah will be available over in the children's building when we finish today. If you'd like to get more information, if you wanted to just email Sarah and say, hey, I want to be a part of that with my family the next time we do that. You may be wondering, what's the age cutoff? You just do what God tells you to do. And if He's saying, do that, you do that. Well, what if I've got grown children? Come on. Come on. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, just be obedient and do it. He's never going to tell you to do anything contrary to his word. And the Holy Spirit's never going to lead you into something that is contrary to what this says. So if he's leading you to take a next step of faith, just do that. Okay? Let me just pray for us as we move forward this morning. Lord, we love you. We want to hear from you this morning. We want your Holy Spirit to guide us, and we want to be open to however you want to move in our time today. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for these moments together. Would you just stir us on the inside and develop a hunger for you and for your word this morning? And may we be a people not only that have a hunger for your word, may we be a people who actually are obedient to what it says. We love you, and we don't want to impose our own intellect on your word. We want to come and yield our lives before it today. And would you speak to us as we open it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. On the first Sunday in November, we started this series that we're in called The Word 511. How many of you have been here for one or two of the first couple of ones? Great. Some of you, this is your first time that you've been here. Welcome. Glad that you're here. Let me just do kind of a recap on where we've been so that we can all be up to speed. We've just been asking ourselves this question, what might our lives really look like if we not only had one of these books called the Bible on our shelf or on our coffee table? What if we actually began to be a people who read them regularly, and this became a rhythm in our day in and day out lives? And we just said, man, if we as individuals, if we as families here at Arapahoe Road were to take the Word 511 challenge, what might our lives begin to look like? And you may be going, okay, you got to refresh my memory. What is the Word 511 challenge? I'm so glad you asked. The Word 511 challenge means that I'm going to commit to read the Bible 5 times a week as an individual. We want to read the Bible every single day. We want to shoot for 7. If we hit 5, we're going to call that a success. And so as an individual, we're going, yeah, man, my life would look different if I began to read the Bible 5 times a week. How much of the Bible? However much you can digest at one point, okay? If that's one verse, great. If that's a chapter, that's great. Kind of depends on where you're at in your reading and whatnot. But what if you began to read the Bible 5 times a week as an individual? What if you read it 1 time a week, or you connected with your spouse, if you're married, 1 time a week and just said, hey, what have you been reading this week? What's God been teaching you this week? Has there been something that's been stirring you as you've been reading this week? And then 1 time a week connecting with your family and just talking about the Word of God, talking about what you've been reading. If you're a single adult, maybe you've got a roommate and you come together 1 time a week and just go, hey, what have you been learning? Or maybe you've got some close friends and you just gather, and that's kind of your family right now in this season of life, and go, hey, what's God been teaching you? The Word 511 challenge. And we gave everybody who wanted to take one a resource kit. A little Word 511 packet like this. If you didn't get one of these are available in our Home Life Center this morning. Feel free to get one. If you lost one, you can pick up another one. Inside, there's all kinds of information, all kinds of tips on how you can begin to start reading the Bible, how you can begin to have a conversation with your spouse, how you can begin to have some of those family times around the Word of God. We've even created a little pamphlet here, a little reading guide, throughout the month of November. And you may be going, man, that is awesome. That will help me start. I don't even know where to start. This will help you know where to start if you need a little bit of help. Some of you are going, I'm not a paper person. I'm paperless. Can you put this online? Absolutely. If you need to connect with our social media, I think we've got it right up here. Yeah, feel free to take your phones out right now. If you want to do that, you can connect to our social media online and like that, and that will come straight to you each and every day. We just want the Word of God to be in your hands, in your lives, in an accessible way. In the first week that we started this little series, we talked about something that David said concerning the Word. David described 3,000 years ago. He described the Word of God in a very vivid metaphor. In Psalm 119, 105, David writes this about the Word of God. He says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so we talked about how this really was a declaration from David about his own dependence on the Word of God. We talked about in David's day, 3,000 years ago, man, when it got dark, it got, I mean, not just dark, it got like really dark. I mean, really, really dark. They didn't just have lights where they could just flip on the light or get the iPhone out. They would light a little oil lamp like this. And what we talked about was how this is how they would reveal a next step. Because when you'd light a little lamp like this, it wouldn't light up the whole room, but it would light up enough of the room where you could take the next step. And what David is saying is, your word is like a little oil lamp that when it's lit, it begins to reveal the next step in my path. It's a declaration of dependence on the Word of God, right from David's pen. And so we talked about that. We talked about how when we read the Bible begins to invite us to do things in our lives. The Bible extends invitations for us as the readers of the Word or as hearers of the Word, as we're hearing the Word of God taught this morning and preached this morning. And so last week we looked at some places in the book of James, in the New Testament, and in a particular part that we looked at, we said, wow, there's all kinds of invitations that James is inviting us to do different things through the Word of God with our lives. And we took some time and we looked at verse 22, James chapter 1, verse 22, and it said this, it said, "But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So we don't want to just read the Bible, although that's a good thing. We don't want to just study the Bible, although that's a really good thing. We don't want to just go to our life group in the next hour, or maybe you went to life group in the first hour and you opened God's Word and you talked about it. We want to actually do what it says. We want to do what it says. And so today, we want to actually take that a step further. Not only do we want to read the Bible, not only do we want to do what the Bible invites us to do, but we want to become who the Bible wants us to be. See if you can finish this sentence. It's an old cliche. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. Our ministry resident, Kevin, was helping me with this message. Kevin's from China, and he was just looking at me like, "You are what you," and he's just kind of going, "What?" I'm like, "You've never heard that before?" He said, "Dude, I'm from China." What are you talking about? So if you've never heard that, let me just say it clearly. There's an American or a Western cliche, you are what you eat. You may be sitting there going, what does that mean? Can you unpack that just a little bit? Sure. That means if you eat healthy foods, you're more likely to be a healthier person. If you eat junk food, I mean, if your diet consists of Funyuns and bean dip, ooh. Not going to be good for you or the people around you, probably. You are what you eat. One person who's had a profound impact on my life, not only as a pastor, but just as one who's trying to follow Jesus, is a man by the name of Eugene Peterson. He's written some incredible, incredible books. He wrote one particular book that I read a few years ago that I want to recommend to you this morning. It's an interesting book with a really interesting premise. And as he calls it, we don't want to just read the book. We want to actually eat the book. That's the title of this book that he wrote, Eat This Book. A conversation in the art of spiritual reading. And he's not talking about eating the book that he wrote. He's talking about eating, in a sense, the Word of God. In Peterson's book, he talks about how Christians feed on the Bible. How the Bible is meant to nurture the church as food nurtures the human body. Christians don't simply learn or study or use the Scriptures. We're meant to actually assimilate it. Take it into our lives in such a way that it actually gets metabolized into our lives and works itself out in acts of love. In those cups of cold water that Jesus talked about giving to the thirsty. And when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me. It's working itself out into missions, into all the world. Healing, evangelism, and justice in Jesus' name. Hands raised in adoration to the Father. It's washing feet, just like Jesus would do to the least of these. That metaphorical imperative to eat this book wasn't Eugene Peterson's idea. It actually was talked about in a few places in Scripture. One who talked about eating this book was a guy named John. Turn with me in your Bible to the very last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. Ooh, some of you just went, hey, we're actually going there. I mean, the two books you want me to preach out of, Revelation, Song of Solomon. Well, we're going to hit one of them this morning, okay? Revelation. Go to chapter 10. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the row in front of you there. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're done this morning. I'll give you a fresh copy just for yourself. Revelation chapter 10, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, it's going to be on page 1033. Page 1033. Kids always ask you to draw me a picture of different things throughout the morning. I'm about to give you one here in just a second that comes right out of this scripture that we're going to look at. And so I want you to really listen and pay close attention as we're reading a few verses here from Revelation chapter 10, because the picture that's going to come out of these words is an incredible picture. Revelation chapter 10, talking about eating the book. Revelation 10, we'll look at verses 8 through 10. It says this. John's writing these words down. It says, "Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, 'Go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land.'" So you got that? There's this angel. And in a sense, he's got one foot in the ocean and one foot on the land. And he's got a scroll or a book in his hand. And this is what John is seeing. And he's writing this down. Okay? So you got the picture there? Big angel, one foot in the sea, one foot on the land, scroll in hand. "Go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who's standing on the sea and on the land." Verse 9. "So I went to the angel and I told him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, 'Take and eat it. It'll make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey.' And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter." It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sweet in the mouth, bitter in the stomach. Tastes good when you're eating it. Ooh, that's hard to work that out. Tastes good reading it. Hard to live it. Kind of gives you cramps sometimes. You want me to do what, God? Kids, draw me a picture of what you think it looked like for this huge angel of God to have one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, with a scroll in his hand, giving it to John. I want to see what your artwork looks like this morning. When you're finished, go put it on my board in the Home Life Center. I want to see what you think that imagery looks like. What an interesting scene. John was a commanding figure in the early New Testament church. He was a pastor of really a kind of a marginal, politically and economically powerless group of Christians in a society in which their commitment to following Christ really branded them as criminals of the state. And so John's task as their pastor was to keep their identity focused on living Spirit-filled lives, with their discipleship ardent, their hope fresh against formidable odds as they continued to live and speak and act as Jesus would have them to live, speak, and act. Jesus being the front and center of their lives. John didn't settle for mere survival with his church. He didn't just throw them a plank out in the middle of a cultural storm that was raging, going, "Hang on, hope you don't drown." No. See, John wanted his church family to live. I mean, really live. That kind of living that Jesus talked about. I came to give you life and life to the fullest. He wanted them to outlive everybody else, not in age, but in purpose and mission and passion. Isn't that the kind of life you want to live? It's the kind of life I want to live. I mean, let me just ask that again. Isn't that the kind of life you want to live? Golly, otherwise, let's just sleep in. I mean, Baylor lost. The world's over. If Jesus were still in the grave. But he's not. Football's a great game. Just makes a lousy God. And so it was in the course of this apocalyptic extravaganza that John is so famous for in recording the words of Revelation. These wildly boisterous, rambunctious, and celebrated visions that came to him one Sunday morning as he's worshiping on the prison island of Patmos on the other side of the world. And so just as John was approaching the midpoint in a sequence of these vision messages from God, he sees this gigantic angel, 1 foot planted in the ocean, 1 foot planted on the land, with a book in his hand, a little scroll. Now, from this type of surf and turf pulpit, John sees, man, the angel is actually preaching from this book, this scroll. I mean, it was a sermon that was explosive with thunder. This was a sermon nobody was going to sleep through. And so John starts writing down what he's hearing. I mean, he'd never experienced a sermon like this, but then he's told not to. Quit taking notes is what he hears. And a voice told John to take the book from the huge angel, this God messenger preaching from this world-straddling pulpit. And so John did. He walks up to the angel and he goes, "Give me the book." He takes it. And the angel gave it to him. And he said, "Here it is. Now eat it. Eat this book. Don't just take notes over this sermon. Eat the book." And John did. I mean, he took his pen, put it to the side, and in a sense, he picked up his knife and fork, and he started consuming what was in the hand of the angel. All this imagery that's involved in this passage in Revelation and in the others throughout the book, they're complex, more than we have time to comprehend in its totality this morning. But there's one area that I do want us to focus on. And it's that this mighty angel is preaching from the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, or at least what had been written at that point in time. Peterson goes on to say that the book that John ate was the Bible. He says the word book is actually translated in the Greek, biblion. We get our word Bible. Bible. The biblion that was in his hand. Suggests something. A book. It suggests that the message that God is giving us, it has meaning. It has a plot. It has a purpose. It's a book. It's a really good book. It's a page turner. Have you ever written a book? If you want something that will, like, just totally keep you up at night, try to write a book. I've written these two. And this one I did in my doctoral studies. I think my professor and myself are the only two that have ever read this. Not too many people have read these other ones. They're student ministry resources. But can I tell you, to try to put words on a page in a way that move a story along and reveal something, hard. It's really, really hard. See, writing a book involves ordering words in a purposeful way. And man, God's book, these words make sense. In a sense, we don't come to God by guesswork. God chose to reveal himself. We know who he is through his word. These scriptural words reveal the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Or as Peterson translates in the Message, and moved into the neighborhood. God con carne, God with meat on his bones. The Word was spoken and creation started. These scriptural words not only have been spoken, they've also been written, handed down, and translated in a way that we are invited to enter the story. It's not just something we read about somebody else. It's something we read and consume and are invited to be a part of. Invited to be who God wants us to be. The Word of God invites us to live the life God always wanted us to live. It's called the kingdom life, and he's saying, step into that story. Step into it. You've got a place in this narrative that he continues to invite us into. We hold these Bibles in our hands and we read them so that we can listen to God and respond to the words that will reveal who God created us to be, to join us in the work that he's prepared for us to do right now. His kingdom come, his will being done right here on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom life is the life God always desired for you and me to experience and be a part of. And we understand who we are and what we're to do when we consume the words found on this page, the book. I mean, you want to be a part of a church that's living in community and on mission? Eat the book. And as you eat the book, what you'll begin to see, that those people who are living in community and on mission are people who are following Jesus. They're loving their neighbor. They're blessing the city, and they're making disciples. And they begin to understand as they read and eat the book that the best place to start making disciples is home, because our faith starts at home, and then it goes to the ends of the earth. It's what you see when you begin to eat the Word. You know, We've been taught to read differently than we've been taught to eat. See, we've been taught to read so that we can assimilate information, pass the exam, put it on the shelf, and get another one and do the same thing. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about eating. You are what you eat. Readers who really read become what they read. And if Holy Scripture, hear me on this, if Holy Scripture is to become something more than just mere gossip about God, it's got to be internalized. It's got to become who we are. I mean, think about it. The angel didn't instruct John to pass on information about God. He commands John to ingest and digest the Word of God so that when he does speak, it's going to just express itself throughout the rhythms of his life, the words that he says. He didn't even have to think about it because it's a part of him. He's just unconsciously digesting the Word, and it works itself out in speech and in action. You're going, what does that mean? That may mean that your life becomes less about hating all Muslims because of a few radical jihadists, or boycotting Starbucks because of a misguided, indigent passion about the color of a cup. If our strategy to reach the nations is to make sure a winking snowman gets back on the Starbucks cup, we've missed it. Nobody cares. I went to Starbucks and I got me a big old thing of Christmas blend, and I've been drinking it and it's good. You go, what does this have to do with eating the Word? You're getting indignant about the wrong things. That does not help us bless the city when we pick it with hate. Doesn't mean you don't have values and convictions. It means you just haven't forgotten to love your neighbor in the process. Get off my soapbox. What would your life look like if you didn't just read this book, but you ate it? I mean, think about that. What would your life begin to look like if you began to consume the Word of God? John wasn't the first biblical prophet to eat a book as if it were a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, 600 years earlier, the prophet Ezekiel had been given a book and commanded to eat it. You don't have to look it up, but just write it down. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8 and following. Look at these words on the screen. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it, and he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And I said to him, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. And then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Tastes good going in. Hard to work it out. That's the word of the Lord. Ezekiel's contemporary. Jeremiah also ate God's revelation, his version of the Holy Bible. Jot this down. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, your words were found and I what? Ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. You're called by his name. It's who you are. Whose you are. Ezekiel and Jeremiah and John, they lived in a time in which, hear me on this, they lived in a time in which there was widespread pressure to live by a different worldview than the one revealed by God in His Holy Scriptures. And if we are in danger today, men and women, of succumbing to a widespread closing and setting aside of the Word of God and replacing it with our own experiences and our own needs and our own feelings as the authoritative direction in our actual day-to-day living, then these three rough and tumble prophets of John and Ezekiel and Jeremiah need to shake us back and go, don't do that. You eat this word. Because I'm telling you, these three men were responsible for the spiritual formation of the people of God in some of the most difficult seasons in all of the history of the people of God. The Babylonian exile and Roman persecution. It's no harder for you today. But we must not be shaken. Because this is in us. That's what the Word of God is saying. Let me just ask you this question. How's your appetite when it comes to feasting on God's Word? Are you full? Because as John Piper says, we've been nibbling at the buffet of the world for so long that we no longer have an appetite for the things of God. That's one of the beauties of the spiritual discipline of fasting. Because when we fast, we say this much, oh God, I want to know you. And fasting or giving up something so that we can pursue God with more intensity is an exclamation point at the end of our prayer life. Do you need to fast so that your hunger increases for God's Word? I was moved when I read the story of Nick Ripken in his book, The Insanity of God. I've shared this with you before. You want a book that'll just begin to push you in your faith. The Insanity of God by Nick Ripken. He tells the story as he's a missionary and he's in different parts of the world, hard places where the scripture, the gospel is looked down upon, frowned upon, illegal, lots of persecution. He tells the story about when he was in China, how 170 pastors and leaders of the underground church in China gathered in a secluded place. It was a secret gathering so that these pastors could encourage one another, worship for a couple of days together before they scattered all over the country once again, back to their little house churches and trying to pastor and share the gospel with people. He says he's there for a few days listening to their stories. And on the last day, he notices that a group of them are gathered over in a corner and they're tearing up something. As he began to walk over, he began to see they're tearing up the Bible. And the guide who was with him came and said, no, 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 it's okay. It's okay. Of these 170 church leaders in China, only 7 have a Bible. What they're doing is dividing up the meal. And they're going, who hadn't taught Luke? Here, you get Luke. Who hadn't taught Psalms? Me. Well, wouldn't you have loved to have had Psalms? How about Philemon? Okay, you get Philemon. So everybody left with part of the meal. If you're offended that the Bible was torn apart so that it could be distributed, you're missing the point. Man, that's a powerful story. Those men loved God so much, and only 7 of the 170 had a whole copy of the Bible. They were willing to slice it up so that everybody had something to take back. I took time to separate out the New Testament and the Bible that we give away each week. It's right there. There's the New Testament. And I just tore it to pieces. I was reminded of how impactful my youth pastor, Bob Johns, was in my life and how he helped me to develop an appetite and a hunger for the Bible. Parents, you got to help your kids develop a hunger for the Word of God or they'll fill up on all the chips and salsa of the world. You've got to help them create space and an appetite. Now, as a sophomore in high school, I had just started going to youth group. I'd become a Christian when I was in second grade. But now as a 10th grader, I'm getting more and more serious about my faith. I'm starting to read the Bible more and more and developing an appetite for the things of God. And one Wednesday night, Bob, my youth pastor, he's talking about how the Word of God just really changes a person when it gets inside of a person, when they think about it and meditate on it and read it. And as he said, kind of chewed on it. Said, if what's in here gets in here, it'll change your life. And he's standing there and he's preaching, and all of a sudden he just says, you know, if somebody would just read this over and over and over again, it'd change your life. Said, is anybody willing to do that? There's a kid sitting right next to him, and he just gave it to him. And he just went to the next, this page right here would change your life. And he just goes around the room. And anybody want one? Anybody want one? And I'm there and I raise my hand. And he gave me Mark chapter 4. It was 26 years ago. He said, here's what I want you to do. If you took a page of the Bible tonight, I want you to take it with you everywhere you go this week. And I want you to read it. You got 5 minutes in class, take it out, read it. You're waiting for the bus, read it. You got a few minutes before bed, read it. Over and over and over and over. Keep it with you wherever you're at. And I'm a literalist in that day. I mean, everywhere I go. Okay, it's with me. It's with me. And he brought it back the next week. And we said, okay. Bob says, how many of you still have your Bible page? I mean, all these ratty Bible pages are up all over the youth group. Who wants to say what it meant to them? Preached my first sermon out of Mark 4. I stood up, no notes, and just went for it. Sat back down. So I got Mark 4. Go on. Yeah. There you go. Read it over and over again. Feast on it. You want one? Mark's going quickly. David, I know that marriage is about sharing everything, but you get your own piece there. Great.
Get it.
Awesome. I tell you what, would you serve a few people? Welcome to the ministry. Pete, would you help me? No, you got to get up. I mean, elders around here, what are our elders doing? They do anything around here by just except having. If you'd like a piece, just raise your hand. Oh, I'll do that one. There we go. Todd? We got some staff members. Women in ministry, come on. Love it.
Thank you.
Don't just pass out a few. There goes one more there. Scott. George, here, just take a few there. No, I'm going to keep Revelation. That'll mess people up. There you go. What I want you to do just for the next couple of minutes is read. Just start feasting. Dan and the worship team just going to begin to play for a few minutes. Just raise your hand if you need one. Buy some kids. Come on, kids. Any more? George got a whole bunch of them right there. Got some back over here? How about back over here? Don't have enough? I got the whole Old Testament right here. Who said they wanted... Go after it. If you're offended by that, you're missing the point. Go to Starbucks when we're done today and get you a red cup of coffee and read your word. Done over there? Evan. There you go, Rick. See that for a second. There you go. I know there's not 1,000 people in here. There's some right back over there. Right now, right where you're at, don't look at me, read. Feast, can we turn that light up a little bit so they can see? Is that possible back there? You just keep going. And you just hang on to this week. And you just eat this book. Eat this book. Keep it with you wherever you're at this week. If you've got a couple minutes, read, eat, feast. Scott, here you go. Ooh, somebody's getting Daniel. As if that's more inspired. There you go, Dave. It's right where you're at. You just take a few moments and you just taste and see that the Lord is good. Need one. I dare you to memorize it. Not so that you can impress us, but that, so that you won't be so malnourished. Just read it for a moment. Taste and see that He's good. Guys, if we have any left over, why don't you just put them on this speaker down here. If you finish yours this week, after you clean your plate, don't just leave it on the table. Bring it to the sink. This is our sink right here, okay? Bring it back. You get another one. We're going to get it in you one way or the other. Just read the Word of God for a moment. Start nibbling. The funny thing is
it's okay. The last thing I need is to be hurt, but to hear what you would say, Lord. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Myself in the midst of you, Lord, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay.
Would you just stay standing if you're standing? If you're seated, just stay seated. If you were going to help us with our offering this morning, would you just bring those plates and just put them right here? And guys, if you can just keep playing that song, because that's what we're going to end with today. This is a part of our worship. Why? Well, let me give you a hint. Because that's what the Word of God says, is to be a part of our worship. It's not because God needs money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Every good and perfect gift that you have comes from Him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So that means anything that you come and put into an offering plate, or if you go online and give that way at arapahoeroad.org, you click on that little online giving thing. That's because your heart and your money are linked. How do we know that? Because the Word became flesh and told us. So we don't give to impress God. We give because the Word of God says where your treasure is, that's where your heart's gonna be. And if you don't give, it's never a money issue with you. It's always a heart issue. And I don't say that to be mean. I say that to be your pastor, who's going to always tell you the truth. Because I'm trying to follow Jesus, and He is the truth. And so as we leave this morning, you're invited to give, to just demonstrate your obedience to the Lord, to just remind yourself once again, you're not your own provider. If you think you are, you need to keep reading. And you need to keep eating. Because what this says is that everything you have comes from Him. And He said, start by returning 10%. You're going, oh, I couldn't pay the water if I did that. Well, then start with 1%. And then move to 2. And then 3. My gut tells me you probably have a strategy for Black Friday. Have a strategy for being obedient every day. And just be who the Word invites you to be. This is not a God tax. This is demonstrating who you are because of whose you are. So as we leave this morning, you're welcome to come and give freely. I'm not going to be up here with my phone, with my video going, let's see who's been obedient today. Just do what God tells you to do. Follow Jesus. Love your neighbor. Bless the city. Make disciples. Would you stand with me? I just want to give you a blessing as you leave today. If you need to take a next step in your faith, fill that little connect card out before you leave this morning. Come give it to me. I'll be over here. If you've got questions about what it means to follow Jesus, come talk to me. If you've got questions about anything, except calculus, I'm not good in math. But if you need somebody to just say, I don't understand, I'll be right over there. Drinking coffee, available to you. Usually we end with a benediction. This morning I'm just going to give you a blessing. Team's going to sing over you. If you're working in the children's building this morning, you might want to go ahead and go. But know that God loves you. He's for you. He's with you. He's revealed Himself in His Word. Take and eat and do it in remembrance of Him. If you need to take the supper on the way out, do that. If you need to just sit and dwell, do that. Whatever you need to do, do that. But as you go, follow Jesus. Love your neighbor. Bless the city and make disciples. In the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.